The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage. And then as a widow until she was 84, she never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. Today's feast in the tradition is also called Candlemas Day, which is the day when the church blesses candles used throughout the year as a symbol of the light of Jesus coming into his temple. Right after I came to St. Bernadette 8 years ago, you might recall that I went on a choir tour in Italy with David Mathers, our music director, our choir from my former parish, and even a couple of choir members from here. We had the privilege of singing at the Vatican at St. Peter's with Pope Francis on the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord. The Mass began with a long procession of representatives of every religious order in the world, carrying long candles. Today, the Church demonstrates her gratitude to all those in the community that dedicate themselves in a privileged way to prayer, to those who have a particular religious vocation to the contemplative life. In the figure of Simeon, Jesus' presentation in the temple also reminds us that prayer and contemplation are not a waste of time or an obstacle to charity. We all know, if we are honest, that prayer is the best way to spend time and the most true to who God calls us to be. True Christian charity is a consequence of a solid interior life. Those who pray and offer penance, like Simeon and Anna, are open to the breath of the Spirit. They know how to recognize the Lord in the ordinary and not so ordinary circumstances in which he makes himself known, because they possess an ample interior vision and they have learned how to love with the heart of the one whose very name is love. In this context, we pay close attention to what is happening and why this feast has special significance. Today, literally, God comes to his temple. For a long time before Jesus, it was believed that because of their many breaks in the covenant and exiles and occupations of the Greeks and Romans, that God no longer dwelled with his people. Herod, whose power came from the Romans, was rebuilding a temple in order to restore a cultural identity to a people and a tribute to himself. But what they really needed was a spiritual identity. Many people live their lives culturally religious, but have no practice of religion. The reality of the incarnation of Jesus shows us our true identity. Later in his public life, Jesus was walking through the very same temple. These huge stones were being set in place, many of which are still visible today, maybe 8 feet by 8 feet or larger. He declares to his followers, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." He's speaking, of course, of his own body, of our humanity, which he came to restore. The most beautiful of all churches, St. Peter or the Shrine in D.C., none of them compare to the beauty of your human soul. That is why you must discover that beauty, celebrate it, protect it from sin and deterioration. Deep joy is rooted in the knowledge of self and being known for who we really are in God's eyes. At the end of the Gospel, Simeon's prophecy of Mary's suffering is emphasized. Pope John Paul II taught, "Simeon's words seem like a second annunciation to Mary, for they tell her of the actual historical situation in which the Son is to accomplish his mission, namely, in misunderstanding and sorrow. The healing is to be realized through our human condition and agency, not despite our human condition." Deep in the Mosaic tradition is the law that the firstborn male was to be presented, offered to God, along with an actual sacrifice at the temple. For poor people, this was 2 pigeons. The child Jesus had to be presented to God by his parents, and Mary and Joseph were the ones who came to offer him and make an offering. Mary and Joseph are the first to hold the vocation that you and I are privileged to claim. In the very same way, it is Christ we offer to the Father every time we celebrate the Mass, but not apart from him. We become part of that offering because of his incarnation, even deeper than being family by divine adoption. Because of his being in us, we are in him. You see the twofold offering. The fulfillment of God's plan is what we are here to do today. Christ offering himself through our humanity, we offer him and we offer ourselves too, through him, with him, and in him, so that in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Heavenly Father. This is the day of our great Amen. You know, the Amen which we acclaim at the end of the Eucharistic prayer, through him, with him, in him, all glory is yours, Almighty Father. And what does the church say? Amen. That is the one word, if there is one word during the entire Mass, that we say that should shake the walls and take the roof off of this church. This is the day of the great Amen. It is too easy to think of God apart, far away, and not paying attention to us. Today, he comes to this house. It is easy for us to postpone prayer and attentiveness to God because we might think that he is somewhere in heaven far away. Today he comes to your house and fills you with the glory of ages and ages. Let us welcome him, present ourselves to him, and join in his offering of love to our Father.